Today is Friday, very much we are reaching the end or close to the end of our first week of NYTS. Also for these 5 days that we spent in here, we sitting through the class, we spend a lot of time in prayer, and we finish a lot of homeworks. And in these 5 days, we all gathered in here for one greater goal, which is to reach God and touch God in our spiritual life. Now it's about time for us to take a minute and to review the life that we have just left for the past 5 days. It's about time for us to once again re-examine our progress that was made in these 5 days. Usually on the fourth and fifth days, all the tiredness, fatigue kicks in. This is the time that you start to feel physically drained. You are tired, you want to sleep until 10, but you cannot. You feel tired sitting through the class, that trying very hard just to keep your eye open for the class. Yes, indeed, fourth day, fifth day, it gets pretty hard. But at the same time, we also need to remember, when you physically get tired, it's usually the turning point, or shall I say the critical point. This is the moment to mark the differences between a participant, whether they go home with something or they go home still feel weak. Because this is the moment for us to experience what Apostle Paul said, that whenever I'm weak, I become strong through the power of the Lord. So yes, you might indeed physically getting weak, not sleeping very well with people, snoring whole night, making all the unbearable noise. Yes, that's the fact. And physically you are suffering. But at the same time, if we are able to recognize our limitation and kneel down and say, Lord, this is when I need you the most. Give me strength to carry through my every single day in the remaining of the prayer and the classes. You know what? This is the moment that you experience a power coming down from above that fill you and revive you. It's very amazing that suddenly you are no longer sleeping in the class. Suddenly you are able to enter into the depth in your prayer. And then you realize it's not because you have too much vitamin C, but because you pray and you pray for God's abundance. So brothers and sisters, now is the moment. Now is the moment for you to overcome the limitation of your physical strength through the power of the Lord. Before we pray, let's turn to Colossians. Now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read verse 2, huh? Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, verse 3. Meanwhile, pray also for us that God would open to us a door for the work to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chain. Huh? This is the prayer of Apostle Paul. As we know that Paul is one of the greatest worker ever recorded. He was able to devote his entire life for no other purpose but to work for the Lord. So he was able to live into a very amazing life that after 2,000 years, we still read about his work, we still talk about his deeds, and we still marvel about his wonders. You know what? Such a great worker, and we have such an admiration. We wish that one day we could be like him, a valuable vessel, useful and precious in the eyes of the Lord. Because we know that in a household, there are many, many vessels. Just like in here, you attend the seminar and you also need various vessels to provide you for your daily needs, right? So every day, you might just grab a plate, recyclable plate. You take a styrofoam cup. What do you do after you finish it? You write your name on it. And then before you leave here, you're keeping your luggage. He said, this styrofoam cup that says 2014 NYTS, I'm going to keep it for the next 30 years. It's going to be in my most precious. Do you do that? You don't. What do you do with it after you use your styrofoam cup? You throw it to the garbage can and add the waste to our already suffering earth. And you are killing the polar bear. Okay. You know what? You take a styrofoam cup, you take a recycled plate. After that, after you use it, you toss it away because it's not very valuable for you. You use it, fulfill the purpose, you toss it. But there are different things, like the cup that you receive, the real one. Is it what, a ceramic, right? The ceramic cup that you receive out of the wonderful grace from Irvine Church, that they want you to bring home as a souvenir. You know what? That, with the indication of 2014 NYTS, yes, you bring home and serve as a wonderful memory to remind you the time that you're spending here. Those are valuable. You keep them. Well, brothers and sisters, unfortunately, I need to tell you that in God's house, it's the same thing. They are vessels who are valuable, that you use it, you wash it, you keep it, and you cherish it. But if we are not careful, we might end up like styrofoam cup. Okay? Also, please do cherish the time that we're spending here. Like how Paul cherishes time to work as a precious vessel for the Lord. We want to not only work for the Lord, but also to be remembered by the Lord. That's what we are striving for. Okay? Also, then here, Paul, as a wonderful worker that we always admire and wish that we could be like him. In here, he said a few things regarding to prayer. So you know what? If you don't know what to pray for, or you do not know how to pray, in here, there are a few key. What is the first key? In here it says, continue earnestly. Please focus on continue. Earnestly, you know. Earnestly means that you need to concentrate, you need to pay attention, you need to pray with your importunity, totality. You all know, you hear this hundreds of times. So you all know that prayer is about concentration and full devotion. But please pay attention when he say continue. Continue. It's not difficult. It's not difficult to pray 1 hour a day if you just do it like right now. You know, I believe that if I say to you, let's kneel down and pray for 1 hour, you would just gnashing your teeth and say, I can do it, you know. You know, you yes, maybe at the end you just like, you know, lay against the pews and like trying to struggle through the 1 hour, but you could do it. I have no doubt you can suffer and endure through 1 hour, no problem. I believe so. The problem is never about 1 hour. The problem is about continuation to do it on an everyday basis. If you pray 1 hour a day, but you only do it once a year, it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do you any good. Oh, yes, it will help you some. It will help you. It will help you. But instead of doing 1-2 hours once a month or once a year, it's way better if we are able to do it continually, consistently, even 15 minutes a day, but every single day. Every single day. Because faith is a process of accumulation. You might not feel anything when you pray 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 20. You will feel that, you know what, it's just a prayer. I pray. You might not feel anything. You might not see any change. But you know what? If we are able to continuously, persistently do it every single day before you know it, before you realize any change, people around you will find out that you are different. Before you even, you know, every day you pray for 20 minutes, you might feel it's all the same thing. But people around you, they can tell you become a different person. People around you can sense now you are emitting a different feeling, a different type of fragrance. You are closer to God. You become more humble. When you talk more gentle. Even you feel nothing, but people around you can tell. That's the power of continuous cultivation. It's far more important than do it once a year. So then here Paul say that when you pray, please do remember, yes, we need to pray with earnesty. Yes, earnesty. You know what? If you pray without earnesty, then nothing else to talk about. You pray 20 minutes a day, but every single day, never earnest. Every single day, you kneel there for 20 minutes and picture about your video games. That 20 minutes, you are not praying. You are daydreaming as much as you kneel there. So first requirement is always about your concentration. It's always about earnesty. Sincerely pray. But then a key word is continue. You do it always, daily basis, cultivation unceasingly. And then you know what? You do that every day. 1 year, you look back, you become a different person. Guarantee. If you do pray earnestly. Number two, let's turn back to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. In here says that, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Huh? So then here, the second thing is, when we pray, we need to be vigilant. What does that mean by being vigilant? Vigilant means that you need to be cautious. You need to be cautious. What do you need to be cautious about? Why is prayer related to vigilant? Because when you pray, a lot of time your prayer, the effectiveness, the power of your prayer is not just about that 20, 30 minutes. Also, I always tell all the students in any of the church seminars, please do remember the productivity of your prayer is not determined by the 20, 30 minutes that you have in the front of chapel. The result of your prayer, the productivity, the effectiveness of your prayer is determined on your everyday life. So you know what? If you live in a very, very careless life and you thought that you could suddenly touch God in your prayer after kneel there for 20 minutes, it's not going to work. It's not. So prayer begins from your daily life, not this 20 minutes. This 20 minutes is very important, but more crucial is how you live your life. How you live your life. So if we are able to live in a godly life, always filled with the words of God in our mind, always careful in how we live, how we interact with others, being very careful, very vigilant, how we talk to our parents, then you know what? From there, you build a good foundation for a powerful prayer already. Already. So then here says that we need to be vigilant, be very careful how we prepare and how we live our life. How we live our life, that we prepare for this prayer. Be careful when we kneel down. What are we thinking or what are we asking? That's called being vigilant. You know what? People change. And sometimes people change unawarely. You might not be aware that you are actually slowly changing to a different person. Like in the book of Genesis, when they talk about Lot, after Lot separated from his uncle Abraham, the Bible says that he gradually moved away toward the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And at the end, he moved into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Was it ever his intention? When he parted from Abraham, did he say, "Oh, uncle, see you later. You know what, I'm moving to Sodom and Gomorrah." No, he was never in his mind that one day he will be in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because, you know, that's a sinful city. But you know what? People change gradually. And sometimes we're not even aware of our own change. The world, this is how Satan works with us. The world is trying to change us a bit by bit. Maybe from your friend, maybe from your work, maybe from the people around you, maybe from the internet. But Satan tried very hard to get you. Satan tried very hard to slowly, slowly manipulate your mind until one day you feel, hey, the world is not so bad. It's okay. So you know what? The world trying very hard to change you. But at this time, we need to be very, very cautious. And that's why we need to live a life with vigilance. Live a life very careful. Examine ourselves all the time. So in prayer, every prayer becomes an opportunity for us to scan, a whole body scan, inside out. You scan your family life, how you interact with your parents, how you talk to your siblings. You scan your school life in the dormitory. What kind of life do you live? You scan about your friendship, the people that you always hang out with, what kind of people they are, and what are you usually doing or what are you usually talking about. You scan about yourself, the way I talk, the way I view things, and the things that I pursue. You know what? So every prayer is opportunity to do a full body scanning, inside out, from the heart to the mind, and then to the work that you've done in the church. And you know what? Every prayer is opportunity for you to fine-tune yourself, and then return to the line of vigilance. Return to the right path. Because you know what? It's inevitable. You live in the world. I live in the world. So it's inevitable that slowly we get affected. I'll swing back and forth a little bit. But opportunities such as NYTS is through long prayer for us to pull ourselves back. You know, the world put you over. For the past whole year, you use one NYTS to put yourself back. And then start on the right path again. That's called living in the life of vigilance. And number three, in here says that, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Huh? Also number three, Paul said, when you pray, please do remember to pray with thanksgiving. This is something that we probably don't do very often, don't do very much. We kneel down, we begin right at what? Either, Lord, please forgive me. Or Lord, I need this, please give it to me. So you know what? We always begin either repentance or with request. Always say, I am sorry, or I need this. You know what? A lot of times that's how we pray begin, and that's how our prayer ends. But in here, Paul says, don't ever forget our Lord has loved us more than enough. So why don't you give some thanks for what you have already? Showing some gratitude, show your appreciation. And you know what? What is stopping us to sincerely say to our Lord that I really thank you for everything that you granted to me in my life? Maybe it's not the most, maybe it's not the best, but it's every bit of your love that I can totally feel your abidance in me. So when was the last time we feel so touched by the love of God in our prayer that we feel that we are so blessed, so loved, that we will not trade anything else in the world for the Lord? When was the last time you think about the grace, the wonders that the Lord done in your life, and you were moved to tears and say, Lord, I'm not going to ask anymore because what you give it to me is amazing. So you know what in here says, please do pray with thanksgiving because the Lord has done so much. And please do remember, he doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't need to do any of this for us. But he does anyway. Why? Because he called us his children. You know, sometimes I think about my own children. And I think about how my little ones running around me, one day when you become a parent, it's very difficult to describe. They are very noisy. They are very troublesome. They cause all the trouble and break all the things that you can imagine in the house. But you look at them, when you grab your arm, they grab your shirt, you say, Papa, it melts. If I could, I would do anything and give them anything I could. Because there's no because. There's no because. You know what? My son yesterday recalled a message for me. And the only thing he said in that 10-second message is, Papa! You know what? It hits right here. And I miss them very, very much. And then, you know what, in my prayer, every time when I think about it, and I think about my relationship with God, and then I was thinking that every time when we kneel in front of him and say, Papa, I'm here. I know you love me so. You know, every time when I imagine, when I just try to picture that our Heavenly Father, every time when we come in front of him and give him such a genuine, pure thankfulness. I wonder how he feels. So, brothers and sisters, please do not hold it in your emotion to your Father. Because he loves you so much, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. How much he has done for you, and how much he has loved you. Doesn't he worth your praise in your prayer? He totally deserves for you to kneel in front of him without asking anything but just to grab his shirt and say, Papa, I'm here. I know you love me. And there's one thing I want to tell you, that I love you very much too. Let's all come to the front.